Sunday! Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they see them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride. Though his mind is not for rent, don't put him down as arrogant.
No, 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 minds are not for rent, and we're not putting ourselves down as arrogant. We are Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show here on Long Island, bringing you the finest dissertation of automobilia in the world, and I think we have some on the line with us now. Chris, are you there?
I am here, Ray. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. Let me do a little intro.
Fine dissertation indeed. Yes, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. You're a little distorted, but we're going to work on that. Let me tell the listeners first that we're breaking ground today because now, not having a co-host in the studio, I now have one remote from Connecticut in you, Chris, which is we're making history again.
Yes, yeah. Once again, this is the show I always wanted to do, Ray. I always wanted to do a show in my robe and in my orthopedic socks and in my bunny slippers.
I'm in awe of you.
Now
because,
you have a picture painted in your mind.
Yeah, because I have to wear clothes on. But listen, people can get in on this. All they have to do is call. Give the number, Chris, please.
516-572-7440. And if you want, I can repeat it again, less distorted, or maybe even more distorted. 516-572-7440.
Excellent. And people can follow us on social media. Of course, on Twitter and on Facebook, it's Motormouth Radio. And on Instagram, it's Joe's favorite. It's real_Motormouth_Radio. And that's where we post the pictures and things of the things we get involved with during the week in the shops and the byways and highways and all that cool stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and it's a lot of fun. I'm laughing thinking about the fact that I'm sitting here in my basement. I really am.
Yeah,
it's got to be the least acoustic room I could find in the house. Cement walls and cardboard boxes. That's what I am surrounded by right now. So
Sounds good.
The true picture. And clothed.
Excellent. Sounds good, though. Sounds very good.
Well, good. Thank you. And this is one of those shows that we're probably going to interrupt each other a lot. You're probably going to be in the middle of something and you'll be like, shut up, we got to take a phone call. So we're going to have to figure that out as we go along. So
right. Well, the good thing is we worked together for 12 years in the studio.
Yes.
And what a lot of people don't know, and when they come in as guests, they see it. There's a lot of unscripted, and unsaid cues that go between co-hosts.
Right.
A lot of finger pointing, a lot of word, a lot of leg lifting. There's a lot of all sorts of. Hey, listen, that's how I was able to take over because I watched you run the board. And although I wasn't classically trained in it, being a student of learning like that, I watched your hands and I kind of had a feel for what they did. So it helped me a lot. So
all of my finger pointing and leg lifting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
got
listen,
it.
Let me get this out of the way. We started with a little bit of Rush, and of course, everybody's doing it. And I usually don't follow the trends like this, but Neil Peart, who's the drummer of Rush, passed away at 67. He was a big influence of mine as I was drumming,
I was amazed. I wasn't really a fan of the band, but I was amazed at his work. His work was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. The man could play in 3 time signatures at the same time, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I was just telling Rob when I came in before we switched the helm here, that I was listening to the band since the 70s, and was in awe. And of course, you try to play like him and you can't do it. And when I saw him first on a video, I was disillusioned. I thought someone was pulling a big hoax. And the reason is, as a drummer, I was trained to play jazz. So it's very fluid, very like limp-wristed, very, you know, like Buddy Rich style. Like your wrists are like on swivels. And mm-hmm. Neil Peart played very rigid and ham-fisted. And,
right.
And to me, that the sound I heard didn't translate to what I saw him doing with his hands. And now I'm even more in awe because, God, how did he do that?
Yeah, but, believe it.
But yeah, he battled.
I believe it.
Yeah, he battled with brain cancer for 3 years, and that's why the band, I guess, stopped touring and all. And he joined the Power Trio back in '74, became the lyricist, and inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2013. Leaves behind a large legacy, but we remember him, so we will honor him today with our music breaks.
And it's funny you mentioned drumming because you did a show a couple of weeks ago with Chassie John, I think it was.
Yeah,
and you guys. No, not Chassie John. I'm sorry. Who did you do the show with that you talked about a lot of drumming?
Terry Wilson.
That's right. I love the fact that you moved the topic of the show like to drumming because there was a passionate exchange between you and Terry, and I thought that was very cool. You actually had me listening like intently. I thought that was a nice nice change of pace. And to all the car guys, you know, it's a car show. But every once in a while, we lose our focus and change over to something else. And I champion you for that. I think that was great. And just for the fact that I didn't even know how much you knew about drumming.
Oh, okay. And
your knowledge was vast. You are a true Renaissance man, almighty.
Well, we never,
sometimes I even go, huh?
Yeah, we never really delved into that, you and I, because it was, you know, like even with the motorcycle stuff, I know it was something you didn't know. So, you know, you don't throw it out there when it's... you know, when the other person isn't really into it, so...
Oh, yeah.
But...
That's true. And you taught me more about motorcycling than... And I had a laugh, because just today... Yesterday, I was on the road. I was on the Merritt, heading towards New York, and I ran into a pack of motorcycles. A pack of Harleys that were cruising along. I don't know. They were of some group designation. I have no clue what it was, because some of the fonts and the writings on their backs is illegible unless you get right up close to it, and I'm not planning on doing that. So I saw them all clustered together, but they're all doing like 50 miles an hour in the fast lane.
were you riding with them?
I was behind them. I was behind them in my suburban SUV hack.
Well, that's why they were going 55.
I wasn't behind them in the police vehicle.
Oh, okay.
And I had a laugh because I had to get into the slow lane and pass them all and then get back into the fast lane again. And here's my daughter in the back going, why are they all driving together? Why are they all going so slow?
Right.
I'm like, I don't know. I got to ask Ray.
Yeah, you know, the first thing I could think of is it's very simple. They may have had another member of the pack who was behind. And instead of stopping, they might have just slowed it down so that guy could catch up, you know.
In the fast lane, that's bright.
Well, that's not really good.
you know how we feel about that.
Yes. Listen, I didn't say everybody on a bike was smart, right?
Yeah, just, you know. Right. But I didn't mean to bring it up and go, why? But you answer it. I'm sure that could have been a possibility. There could have been a straggler, and we had gotten on the conversation of what the leader does in a motorcycle pack, and I said that Ray knows what the leader of the pack has a responsibility, as well as the motorcyclist in the back of the line.
Oh, absolutely.
Equal amount of responsibility. I knew none of that until you and I started chatting about it on the air. So,
right.
And I always, Dawn's asking me, she's like, well, what's the guy in the back do? I said, the guy in the back picks up all the parts. He usually fixes things. He's the one that knows the most about motorcycles.
Yeah, many times. Yeah.
And I proceeded to tell her the story about who Mikey T one time was on the air with us and with one of his riders, one of his cohorts. And they were talking about, I think we were talking about oil. When's the good time to change the oil? Before the season ends or when the season starts? And then they were volleying back and forth about oil changes. And then they got into the subject of the why should I listen to you? Your bike is a piece of junk type of the conversation moved that way. And Mikey T says, well, the last time I was riding in the back, your kickstand almost hit me in the head. It flew off your bike. It almost hit me in the head. And I lost control of the show at that moment because I was too busy laughing out loud and falling on the floor just to hear Mikey T completely lose it.
Yeah,
over a motorcycle conversation where parts were flying, and I proceeded to tell her that, and because it's a story I haven't thought about in years.
Right. Well, yeah. See, things come back to you. It's all about Well, those are obviously Harley riders because the mantra was why do Harleys leak so much? They don't leak. They mark their spot. There was that.
Right.
And I've ridden behind friends of mine on older Harleys that. Parts literally fell off, and you're dodging. Oh, license plate. Oh, foot peg. Ah, kickstand. And you're like, because the older bikes vibrated a lot, and guys who were, at home mechanics weren't always as wise to how to keep them together as the guys in the shops. Sure. So, but, it's.
Hey, I hate to admit it. My TR6 was the same way. I lost a headlight ring, flew off. I lost a lug nut, and my classic was a. Brake caliper bolt that flew out.
I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
That was one of the classics. I was like, I cannot believe.
Right.
Something like that can fly away.
Uh-huh.
But it did. Yeah. So I'm just as guilty. I speak as a fellow sufferer.
Yeah.
So I understand. I get it. Fun stuff.
Yeah.
That is the truth. So how was the week?
Well,
Yeah,
we're in interim stuff here. Nothing much is going on. I was down at the shop, the Limburg shop, yesterday working on Mike Chevelle. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you said that because it's a topic I want to bring up. I made a post on Instagram last night about it. The car now had all the brake system is brand new, from master cylinder to wheel cylinder.
Wow.
Brand new. Well, all new lines, of course, and everything is new and dry. So the question I asked myself is, how do you go about filling and bleeding a system that's fully dry? And then I said to myself, hey, self, I did this on my own car. What did I do?
What did you do?
And I didn't remember.
Oh, I would say, well, knowing you, you probably gravity bled it first. If I know you at all, that's probably what you did. And and I've come to realize I cannot gravity bleed anything. I don't know how you did it. I don't know. You probably turn cars upside down or stand them straight up on their front bumper. I don't know how you gravity bleed anything because it doesn't work for me. It failed. Because I had to do the same thing on the 300. And I had put a whole new brake system in and ran a couple of new lines. Not all of them, but it was a completely empty system. And I just coaxed it, pumped it, let the master cylinder run the fluid, and it did it pretty efficiently to fill the system with fluid and then go around, do the dance, the brake bleed. I have the one-man brake bleeder. It's the cup.
Yes.
I have one of those, and I'll swear by them. They have saved my bacon more times using those.
Yeah, I'll say this. Through the years, I've done this many, many years. Not every car wants to gravity bleed. Some gravity bleed much better than others. GMs typically gravity bled very well. Fords did not. Mm. I had a lot of trouble with Fords. So what I did was I employed two methods. I took my Phoenix reverse bleeder.
Ooh.
Now, that's a tool where, when you bleed brakes, you bleed it from, you pump the pedal, say, or you suck it out of the caliper with a suction pump. So you bring the fluid down and out. But fluid dynamics says air wants to rise in the fluid. It does. Like, pour some soda where the bubbles go. They go up. They don't go down, right?
Sure do. Yeah.
So the theory is, to get all the air out, you want to push it up, not down. So the reverse bleeder is a tool. It's like a handheld pump. And you put the input side of it into a fresh bottle of brake fluid. That's the source.
Got it.
And you pump it. You get the air out of it. You put the output line on. I went to the right rear wheel cylinder.
Right, furthest distance first.
And as you stroke that lever, it puts fluid into the cylinder. Then it goes through the line, through the hose, through the other line, up to the master cylinder.
Wow.
So what I did is I removed the master cylinder, and I just had the two brake lines empty, and I left a bucket up top to catch the fluid. So I did that with the two rear wheels. Then I went to the front wheels, and I had fluid coming out of all of them. And then I bench bled the master cylinder. And, you know, for people who don't know, that's when you chock the master cylinder in a vise, you fill it with fluid. You have to take hoses or lines from the output ports and loop them back into the fluid chambers.
Correct.
So that the fluid that comes out now goes right back in. And you stroke the master cylinder, the end of it, with I use a big punch. And you can see the bubbles coming out. So I did that, put it on the car, and then crossed my fingers and checked the pedal. And, wow, I had a nice, firm pedal.
Wow. Son of a gun.
Less than an hour. Yeah, less than an hour. So there's pictures on Instagram. You can see those. And the last one, I think the last one is of the master cylinder. But the second to last one is a short little 10-second video. And it was me doing it myself. I was on the left front wheel. So I was stroking the tool, and I was holding the cell phone over the master cylinder.
And the music was going, dum, tick, dum, dum, tick, dum. Yeah, I know.
But you
I know your videos.
You can see that fluid flow coming out of the master into the chamber, and that's the fluid that's being reversed fed. So that's how that works.
That's cool stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Very nice.
But I tell you what else is cool, Chris. We've gotten to our first break.
Son of a gun. Yes, we have.
And we may not be able to communicate on that break, but therefore we will be back in about a minute. And we'll preview one of Rush's. When people talk about Neil Peart, this is one of the songs that is like preultimate. It's YYZ. I mean, this thing is like, there's none better when you get to Rush. So we'll hear a little bit of that, and we'll do a little spot. And we'll be back.
I'll be here.
On 90.3 WHPC. Keep it. We got it.
.3 WHPC wants to let you know that the Nassau Community College Africana Studies and Theater and Dance Department production present Sisters on Fire, a musical by Professor Marcia McNair and Professor Anissa Moore. In Sisters on Fire, a musical, the personal becomes the political when passionately opinionated African-American women speak their minds in a soul-stirring mix of song, dance, spoken word poetry, and prose. The interrelated dramatic monologues examine pressing social issues from an African-American female perspective. Presented on Nassau Community College's Main Stage Theater inside Building W with performances January 24th through February 2nd. Ticket and show information can be found by calling 516-572-7676.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard.
And I'm Tim Leonard.
And yes
we're brothers.
Join us every Monday at 9 a.m. as we talk sports on From the Press Box.
We'll give you news and opinions about the Yankees,
the Mets,
the Knicks,
the Nets,
the Giants,
the Jets,
the Islanders,
and the Rangers.
And yes, we're a soccer-friendly show. Come on, you Spurs.
So join us every Monday at 9 a.m. for From the Press Box right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC, streaming on the iHeartRadio app and podcasting on Spreaker.com.
Yes, we are Jive Talking on 90.3 WHPC, and that is Chris Switzer on cowbell, by the way. Don't let yourselves be fooled. Live read, and he plays cowbell, too, so this man is a talent.
Not at the same time.
Boy, you never said that in 12 years of doing a show with me.
No, but I have said this. 516-572-7440. Pick up the phone. Call us. For crying out loud.
That is true.
Come
that
on. True. Come on.
Yes.
Standing here talking to Ray.
I know. All right, we are back. Motor Mouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show. Having Chris give the number in two different planes. Very smooth. And yes, please give us a call. People may not realize that the phone is not tied up. You can call us at 516-572-7440, and we will take your calls. And let's talk about cars.
Yes. Hey, Ray, did you hear in the news the Bullitt Mustang went for $3.4
million? Well, I'll tell you something, Chris. One thing that hasn't changed is you can still read my mind, because I have that piece right in front of me. It was right on top of the Neil Peart. Yeah.
Son of a gun.
Yeah, of course. Big news in the car world. And it's funny because on the Thursday night Plane and Traffic show, Chassis John, that topic came up on Thursday, and he asked me, what do you think the car is going to sell for? I'm like, gee, how do you guess something like that? And I said, what do you think, John? He goes, $3.5 million. I'm like, get out of here.
That was the going number.
There you go.
It was $3.5 million. They said $2 million was the floor, $4 million was the ceiling.
Right.
That was the going number, 3.5. but it had a lot going. It had a lot going for it. You know, it's Steve McQueen touched it. Steve McQueen drove it. It's got movie provenance. It's got a history all the way from the beginning to the end. Everybody knows the car. It is the most famous Mustang, bar none.
Oh, but definitely.
The bad news is the car's already been revealed.
Yeah.
And now what do you do with it? Everybody knows it's out. Everybody knows it exists. So what do you do with the car? Do you show it off? I mean, we've always said it. Every time, there are times we'll go to shows and you see the same cars over again. They're still nice.
Right.
They're still great. But they're the same cars.
Right. Well, I think it's going in a collection. It'll have to go into someone's private collection. That's, you know.
Here's the question I want to ask you.
What's that? And then we're going to go to the phones.
So. Okay, who bought it? Who do you think bought it?
No, he went unannounced. He did it as a...
I know.
Yeah, probably John Stalupi.
I'm still thinking it's Jay Leno, but that's my bet is Jay Leno.
All right, well, we'll pick up the phones. We'll go to the fund and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths. Who do you think bought the Bullet Mustang?
So you got me, but all I know... Hey, Chris, it's Dan.
Dan!
Hey, how's everything, buddy? That's interesting. You know, they found the second.
Well, there were two of them, right? This one was right. Dan just got dumped. He just got dropped by his own. There was one in Mexico. We were talking about this on Thursday, right?
That was the stunt car.
Mm-hmm. Let me see. Let me check my notes here.
Yeah, that was the one in Mexico. Was a stunt car. It was found in the desert in a salvage yard. It was painted, I think, white or a prime,
mm-hmm.
and it was completely gutted. There was nothing left. It was a shell.
Right.
And there's some the individual who owns that car is putting it together. From what I heard, the last 2 years is putting the car together to restore it and call it the second Mustang, basically, the jump car, I think they call it.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they said this one was bought right after the movie by a fellow in New Jersey for $3,500, and they didn't say if he's had it up until the point of sale or not, but I know it was in his possession for a long time, so.
The hero car, you mean? The one that
that just got sold, yeah. It does still have the camera mounts under the rocker panel, so that's one of the ways they document those things.
Totally, and you could see it in the chase scene, too.
Yeah.
You could see the little squares that are right behind the driver's door when he goes into reverse, when Steve McQueen backs it up.
Oh, yeah.
They have a fairly close shot of the car, and you could see those little squares, those little I-beam, not I-beam, what would you call them?
The little square, box. It was square tube. Yeah.
Little square tubing, yeah. Yeah. You could see them sticking out of the bottom of the car.
Let's see if this is Dan again. We'll go back and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Yeah, guys, I'm sorry, I lost you.
That's okay, Dan.
That's what I wanted to say. The second car was really, I tell you, that's interesting. And a whole story, how they found it, you know, in Mexico, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really unbelievable. Love to see when that one's done, you know.
Sure. Hey, Dan, you're probably the guy that would know how they found that car, because they found it through the serial numbers, correct? You have a little
they
bit of
found
knowledge
it,
on
yeah,
that
they
subject.
Found it, yeah, they found it, yeah. Right, I think the guy, in fact, it's funny, he was looking for a fastback to do like an Eleanor, you know, and he purchased two of them, you know, and that's when he, you know, with the van, and, you know, that's how they identified it, you know, but the guy was going to do a clone. Could you imagine he was going to use it for like a clone, an Eleanor clone, you know?
Wow.
And then stumble on the fact that it's got provenance.
Right.
And just the fact that it was still there, it was just sitting, you know, it's just sitting in some yard someplace. I mean, it was just fantastic. It's just unbelievable, you know. The guy that bought it was a cop originally. He paid $3,500 for it in Jersey, you know what I mean? And I remember reading the article how someone had it because they had found the car. Someone found the car, but the guy that had it just didn't want it to be, you know, let it be known. And the guy was really something else, you know. Wouldn't show it. He just had it stored, you know.
Right.
But, I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I tell you, when they see that, I tell you, it makes me want to get mine going, you know.
Well, you know, Dan, it makes sense that the guy wouldn't want it to be known, because otherwise you'd have guys like us, all of us, at his door knocking and saying, hey, can I see it? Can I buy it? Can I see it? Can I buy it? Get the hell out of here!
Yeah, but is that fair, though? You know, come on. You have a car like that. You know, really.
Hold on.
To me, it's a little selfish, to tell you honestly.
Let me ask you this, Dan. I'm going to put you on the hot seat. I've seen some of the cars in your collection. And why do you keep all of yours under wraps? Why didn't you even let me see one of your Corvettes? Like, same reason, brother. Same reason.
No, it's not that. Not that. But this is, come on. This is a lot different. Look at it.
Yes.
You know, there is a difference. I mean, really, a car like this, you know? And then the funny thing about it is the guy was using it as a daily driver.
Did he?
I mean, sure.
Way back
a
when,
daily
I guess.
Driver.
Yeah,
back, but
okay.
Are you kidding? You know, I mean, really, why would you even... You know the history of the car. You know what? And you're going to use this. Steve McQueen. In fact, it's funny. It's if you Google it, Steve McQueen wrote a letter. He tried to buy the car back. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He offered and they still have the letter. They offered him money because he really wanted the car for his collection. But, you know, why would you let that car go? You know, it's just unbelievable. I got to tell you, when that movie came out, I seen that in the movies.
Yeah.
And I got to say, it influenced me really. I think it put me in that direction, maybe, you know, to do what I wanted to do in life. And
okay.
I mean, I was just blown away from it. When I seen that movie, I tell you, I felt like I was in the car because however they did it.
Oh, Dan, you know, I watch it on TV and my stomach goes, woo.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? I remember feeling like the knots in your stomach. It was just,
that speaks to something that Chris had spoke about a long time ago, the director of that movie. Chris, who was the the guy that
directed? It wasn't. The first person I'm thinking about is Willie Friedkin, and it wasn't him. It was French Connection, but the I can't think of the director
I thought it was Friedkin. All right, I'm sorry.
No, because what Dan is saying, and he's right in the way. It was the bench line for other chase scenes.
Without a doubt, it was the first one.
It was a modern one. Yeah, but what it did was guys like William Friedkin said, "That's a great chase scene. We have to top it."
Yeah, yeah,
right. That's how you got the chase scene in The French Connection, and as well the chase scene in The Seven Ups.
Was also a
kind of tipping of the hat to Bull.
And that was another one. That was another great movie. In fact, if you look, and he, when the Nova hits the truck, he got hurt.
Right.
Look at the reaction. And he said it. Look at the reaction on his face when he got out. He was really shaken up. You know what I mean? And they caught that all on film. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And you can see because they.
How about this? They knew they were going to put the it was a Ventura, by the way. They knew they were going to put the Ventura under the truck. They didn't know where the hood was going to go. Somebody said, "Where's the hood going to go when this thing goes under the truck?"
Right.
They had to write into the script, "Get rid of the hood."
Yeah. So a shotgun blast took care of that. Like, we know that happened.
Yeah.
Gets rid of the hood. Okay, now the hood's off the car. Now they can send it under the truck.
Right.
Oh, I tell you, those movies, let me tell you, classics. It's just something else. But I tell you.
I got to say, our good buddy Matt Goldman Bryan had said that those Mustangs, they had one. There's always multiple cars. One was a big block, one was a small block. The small block was the jump car, and that was the one that was destroyed.
Right.
Yeah.
So, this one was a 394 barrel 4-speed. And I guess it was Brian's venerable favorite top loader 4-speed, I would imagine.
Mm. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. It's just, I had heard that there was three. I remember years ago they said there was three, but I guess not. I guess just two.
And listen, I know they did that chase scene multiple times. The way that, they ripped the front suspension out of it. I mean, those cars were not robust. So I wouldn't be surprised if they had 30 of them,
In fact, they said in Bullet, one of the scenes you can see where the cars were connected or something. I remember that they had, the car lets it go and you could see like
the Mustang lets the Charger go. It releases it and the Charger supposed to go into the gas station and blow up. But if you look close... If you watch the chasing a lot, the Charger misses, goes behind the gas refinery, whatever it is, and the refinery blows up anyway.
Yeah.
But you see the Charger past it on the left-hand side.
I tell you,
it's comical.
Good. Mm-hmm. Great. What do you call it? I tell you, I remember on my career, I was involved in a couple, and I tell you, I remember, boy, let me tell you, but the adrenaline that goes through your body, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
One time I was on the West Side Highway, I remember one time, and got information, and it was funny because It was to, what do you call it? I just hit a garage, you know, and I had gotten information of what couple of cars I was going. And sure enough, as soon as they get on the West Side Highway, what do I see? It was, I remember it was a Toyota Supra, a Porsche, and I forget the other car. And what do I see coming up to Uptown? I see the cars. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And yeah, I'm telling you, I was like, and I'm in, like in a Chevy. You know what I mean?
A Chevette. Know. Okay,
yeah,
car.
Keeping up with them.
Yeah.
I tell you, I never forget. So I see them, you know, all of a sudden, and then what they do is they loop back on the West Side Highway. They go downtown again, you know, go down. Now they pick me up and they come back again. Now it's, we're on. You know
right,
I mean?
Game on.
And all
right.
of a sudden, I'm flying, you know, trying to catch him, right? And all of a sudden, West Side Highway, the Toyota Supra flips over on the West Side Highway, right?
Wow.
Now I wind up going, I'm in this chase. I hit a car, you know what I mean? I get out, and thank God the car I hit was okay. And I remember running to the park, you know what I mean? Trying to catch this freaking kid who I couldn't believe, you know, had got, like, the other two cars got away, but the Porsche was flipped over on West Side Highway.
Yeah.
And he was running. Like, how the hell does this kid walk out of the car? You know what I mean? And I'm chasing him to the park and what do you call it? And he got away, but it was like, talk about a mess. Because, you know, now we shut the whole West Side Highway down. You know, an unmarked police car. You know, nobody knew what was going on. Well, you know, when the radio cars responded, and it was just like a total mess. You know what I mean? And I remember it was this guy, Chief Adamone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I I'm thinking I'm in trouble with the whole thing. And I remember, you know, I had to go into the precinct and talk to him. And he was pretty cool. He kind of liked it of us. You know? Yeah, he realized that I was doing the job. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Dan, it's always great listening to your stories. Always.
It's true.
I miss those. I tell you, I had so much fun. And I said to this day, I would have worked for free. I'm telling you.
That's great.
I really would have. I loved it. I loved it so much. I loved the challenge. You know, it was so much. It's cars. I mean, what better assignment can you have, you know?
Now
I mean,
you know,
it was.
Oh, yeah.
Now you know why we do this. You know,
yeah,
we work for free, too.
Right. Dan, you got to like it. If you listen, you know, you don't like it,
I would love to be your ghostwriter, Dan.
Yeah,
I would love to be your ghostwriter.
Definitely.
I would love to sit down and just write it all down.
I
got to
tell you, me and Lex, I was active, but I got to tell you, there was a friend of mine. In fact, I'm going to just tell you fast. The guy was so good. The best detective I ever seen. By far, all these big cases. I mean, there were cases I was watching on one of these shows, back to back. They talked about this guy, Tommy Karate. They talked about another one. My friend did the case. He started it. The guy was unbelievable. Unbelievable. He was so good that there was a guy, he used to write for Gangland, you know, in the Daily News.
Oh, yeah, Capizzi, yeah. Jerry Capizzi, yeah.
You know what I mean? And he was great because he used to do all of these articles, you know, in the Daily News. I think he went to, he was teaching up at John Jay, but when he retired from, I think he still has the thing on on the internet. But he was so good, his information, that the wise guys used to listen to him.
Wow.
You know, because we would pick him up on wiretaps, and his information was 100%. I mean, he was just unbelievable. He was so good. That when my friend retired from, he tried to write, he wanted to write a book about him.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
Nice.
And he just wouldn't, my friend didn't want to do it because, you know, he's always behind the scenes, you know?
Yeah, sometimes you can be too good.
Guy. Yeah. All right,
yeah,
Dan,
I tell you
what we got to do now is we're going to take another break, so.
All right, okay. But nice to tell you, I hope it's, you know, back to. Chris, I hope you're back on again. It's good. It's nice
yeah,
we,
we're roping them in as long as we can keep them. We got them, that's for sure. The team is back.
Thank you, Dan.
All right, buddy.
Thanks,
all right,
Dan.
See you guys later.
All right, bye-bye. So long.
Talk to you soon.
All right, we're going to try and make some other history now. I'm going to try and use Spotify off the studio computer. And then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about the memorable moments of 2019. I've been waiting to get you on, Chris, to do this. So we'll do
by
that.
The way, the director of Bullet was Peter Yates.
Yates. Oh, wow. Rowdy Yates.
It's nice to have a computer in front of you when you have nothing else to do.
Now you know what the listeners feel like, right? They can do that. All right, we're going to take another break. Right, we're going to in lieu of our new connection here, we're going to visit the spirit of radio here on WHPC, and we'll be back with more of Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino. Keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHPC.
This is Rabbi Pearl. What's happening? I can't take it anymore. Sunday morning, I wake up early to host Jewish Talk at 8:30 a.m., a program that speaks in English but thinks in Yiddish. On the voice of NASA Community College, 90.3 WHBC, and streaming live on the iHeartRadio app.
This is Motormouth Radio, your one-hour automotive talk show. And now, here are your Motormouths, Chris Switzer and Ray Guarino.
All right, we're back with magic at our fingertips. We made that real quickie because we were we're burning time here. So, Chris, we are going to talk about, we're going to burn through the best, well, not the best of, the just the memorable moments that happened last year on this fine radio show that that you're responsible for.
Sorry to hear that. I always say I'm really not responsible. Rob Leonard is responsible for this show because he's the one that, that broke my shoes to try and get a proposal in to our the illustrious Jim Green. To so I blame Rob.
Well, that's true. That's not totally off, right? Totally true.
So we you can blame me, but I blame Rob.
Okay. So we go back to the January 3rd of last year. Of course, was the that's our anniversary. That's the Motormouth Radio, right?
So 2002.
Yeah, last year was the 18th year anniversary. This is now the 19th, if you can believe that.
Gosh.
I know. Whoever thought, right?
19 years? No, yeah. I didn't think this show was going to last. I really didn't think this show was going to last 6 weeks.
19 days, I know. Then on February 20th, I should have checked this out today, and I was remiss because I was trying to get this remote thing going. We picked up our 100th Twitter and Instagram followers. I think we're up to maybe 200 now. It's we're not burning up the internet, but you know we're getting a slow, steady following.
Got to start somewhere.
I know. Yeah, at the basement, ground zero.
Right.
In March, we had so much Mopar talk. Mark Warman and just the Mopar Club, and it just seemed like we were really doing a lot of Mopar stuff. The guys at the UD termed this Mopar Mouth Radio. It was apt.
Yeah, I didn't help that along with buying an old Chrysler 300 sitting in the garage now.
I didn't help that.
I didn't help that too much. Yeah.
Then later in March, we did a two-hour fundraiser, which is always monumentous. That's always fun. Of course, May was the Mother's Day extravaganza. That's something, Chris, that you instituted that we carry on.
And you know why, right?
I have no idea. I just do it because I've been doing it forever. I know.
We never can get a guest on Mother's Day.
Right.
Because nobody could never book a guest on Mother's Day. And at the time, Steve's mom was still around, and my mom was still around, you know. So it was that sort of thing,
right?
So we just said, let's do a best of, and we put it together. Usually we put it together the week before,
and
it just grew. I mean, it just grew into this and momentous thing. And I am so glad that you actually picked up the gauntlet and ran with it.
Oh yeah, it's so much fun. It really is.
It really is. It's a lot of work.
So we'll see.
It's a lot of fun.
Well, you know what? I'll throw it out there. Maybe this year in May, maybe we can get you to come over the bridge and we'll do it live. You know? Because we go to a remote location and, you know, there's food and drink and grog and oil and all sorts of, you know, people coming in on motorcycles and all sorts of crazy stuff.
It is an undisclosed location and usually a mess.
Right. So right after that, the next week in May, we did our 3-hour live broadcast from Tobe Beach. That was we're using the same software you're using now, but we had trouble with it the first hour. And and Sean asked us if we would go another third hour, and Kim graciously gave up her show, and we did it.
Right.
You know,
it was an amazing show, and
it was
quite
cool.
Long, I'm sure.
It was, oh yeah. Then in June, we kicked off June sadly. We lost Dennis the Goatman, of course. He was an anchor on this show for many years, and comic relief to no end. And, you know,
it's so funny. I miss saying it. I miss saying, it's the goat man.
Right. I know.
Miss stuff. It.
So, you know, we always keep Dennis in our minds and hearts, and we champion him with things like this. Then, on the 9th, I keep track of this stupid stuff. I did my 1,200th show last year on the 9th. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what I'm up to now. I got it somewhere, but, you know.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. I have you to blame.
You have this insatiable appetite for abuse.
I know. Well, I don't know. You know, then in July, we Facebook Live started broadcasting. There's cameras all over this place. Of course, we're the only show that, like, well, one of the only shows that didn't use them. Mm-hmm. He just, like, said, eh, I don't know. I asked Joe, I said, what do you think? He's like, what do you think? And we each gave us each other a hairy eyeblow and, let's wait. Okay.
Yeah, so, face for radio.
Exactly. Then in August, you filled in for me when I went to a wedding upstate, and that was, it was always great when you came back in because you did that the year before well. And I was, I told Joe, I said, yeah. I'm glad you had a good time. I'm jealous. Because you got to do a show with Chris. I didn't. Exactly.
Yeah, we did a couple of, Joe and I did a couple of shows. Yes. You were on vacation, I think, one year. And then there was, it was like once a year. I think.
Yeah.
I felt like Mike Sims. I was coming in just to do a once a year show and that was it.
Exactly. You know, then in September, of course, we turned it around. We did another 2-hour live remote from Tobey. With DJ Dr. Scholes. Chris Scholes was our board op for that. He's a great guy. We love Chris. Mm-hmm. And so that was cool. And then in October of last year, you know, things changed around a little bit, and Jenny actually came in as a co-host, my daughter Jenny. And I didn't know what to expect. And you know what? The listener response was off the charts.
That was a great show.
She nailed it.
Totally.
Wow. Totally. Okay. That was great. Great.
And to top it off, she's got a great voice for radio. She sounded good.
You know, like we've always said, Chris, whenever, like last, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, we had a woman call. Yeah, last week, Eliza called. You know, when you just have that woman's voice, you know, and I said to her, we've always embraced women on the show, and she says, oh, it's kind of ironic you say it that way. I'm like, really? I'm like, better we embrace women than we embrace the men. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
So anyway. So yeah, the woman's voice always adds, I think, to the feed, and that was great.
It sure does.
Then later in October, we had our first use of the new console dump button, which I'm looking at because we didn't have one for a long time. And
oh my gosh, we were flying without a net for many years.
Yeah, well now we have
many years,
and it works.
Very good.
That was good. And then in November, you came in to co-host with me for the first time. It was in 2.5 years that we worked together again, which was
great.
Which kind of planted the seed for this, actually.
Well, yeah, is the truth. That is the truth, that we were discussing it, and it is, I mean, it's not an awful thing to get over the bridge, but it just takes so long to do so.
Yeah.
So I thought we have the technology. Let's see if we can take advantage of it. And we just, thankfully, we were able to put our minds together and do it.
Yeah. Then in December, the last one was, you know, I used the Mac computer to use Spotify like I did today. I stepped on myself already, of course, which is great. You gotta learn. There's a dance going on here, but so we're moving ahead with technology. You can teach old dogs new tricks, apparently.
Agreed.
You know, and that's where we're at. So I tell you what, 516-572-7440. We're rolling up to our last break, and I want to mention the great show Revelations on this station. Mondays at 5 p.m., Steve got a 2-hour show now. Steve Kelly is a good friend of ours, and he hosts a theme-oriented show with an emphasis on rare tracks and hidden gems. You know, Chris, people have always said, I have a deep musical cadre in my head.
You do?
Where mine stops, Steve's takes off from there.
Oh,
it's like, he is unbelievable.
Really?
And it's in the genres of rock, blues, soul, folk, and jazz, and you can hear him talk about it, because I'm going to play his promo. Well, we take this last break. You know, it's been we're in the limelight, so let's visit that with our good buddies at Rush, and we'll be back with more of this fine stuff. Hopefully, we'll get another call, and yeah, we'll just do what we got to do.
Yep.
So keep it where you got it. 90.3 WHPC. Here we go.
What are all these birds doing here at the radio station?
They're just tweeting.
They're kind of loud.
They'll stop soon. They're about to hit 140 characters.
Huh?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm retweeting that.
Oh no, not again.
You gotta like that.
That tweeter just tweeted all over the equipment.
Do you or do you not know about the bird.
Join the conversation on Twitter. Find us at 903-WHPC.
I'm not cleaning that up.
Hey, what's your big idea?
That's 903-WHPC on Twitter. From the voice of NASA Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities, an occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
The Motor Mouths will be right back with your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440.
All right, the slidey things have been slid, the twisting things have been twisted. Well, there's no more of them except... we get twisted once in a while. But we're back. Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer on Motormouth Radio into the last segment of this great, monumentous show, which will go into memorable moments. Try to say that three times.
Yeah,
of 2020. So
I am very impressed that it's actually working and working well, at least from my end.
Is the basement comfortable? Are you happy down there?
It's a little cold, it's a little damp, but it's not the first time I've said that or been in an environment that way, but it's not so bad. I must admit, just yesterday I felt like I've accomplished something yesterday. I saw my neighbors were putting a strut in on a Ford Taurus, I looked at the window across the street. You could see their garage, and it was open.
So you were peeking out through the curtains, right?
Totally.
Okay.
of course.
Nice.
And I see that there's one hydraulic jack and no jack stands.
Oh, boy.
And both of the guys are under the car. And I'm like, oh. I got to go out. I went over to Dawn. I says, I got to be a good neighbor. And she's like, why?
Yeah, why? You know what? And she's not even from Brooklyn. Good for you. Good for you. Screw them. They deserve to get crushed if they're not going to be smart about it. Excellent. Excellent.
So I go out there, and I'm chatting with them. Make a long story longer. I'm chatting with them, and I look down, and not only is the jack under the car, but it's not next to the block that you would put basically the scissor jack if you're going to change
the tire. Pad, yeah.
There's the pad. It's not next to it. It's the jack is on the seam. You know that?
Oh, the pinch weld?
Yes.
That's okay. You know, I learned this at the shop with Mike and Mike. With the lift, a lot of times, you don't have a pad or there's no chassis, and the pinch weld is the acceptable location for a lift pad. No, I'm not.
Well,
I swear.
Yeah. Not only is the pinch, that half-inch piece of metal, it's resting on that. It's got the whole, basically the weight of the car on the jack on that pinch weld. But on the other side, on the inboard side of the pinch weld, is the brake line.
Oh, yeah, right.
Which makes it even more precarious at that point. So I just walk away. I walk away. I go get a scissor jack because that's the only thing I'm thinking. I'm not going to go and try and fuddle with a jack stand. So I just get a scissor jack, and I come back with that, and I'm sending it under the car, and they're looking at me like, what are you doing? I'm like, what am I doing? It's called insurance.
You have a collection, and you have a collection of scissor jacks. I was with you when you bought about 10 of them. That was a mission in Englishtown one year for you.
Yeah, scissor jack. And I still have them. And I still use them. They are my best insurance policy. Because I have a real problem with jack stands that are either notched or, how about these clever designs? The ones with the tube with the three holes in them?
Oh, yeah. The old
school. Try and get that to match up to anything that's high. You either have to go really high or really, really, really high in order for that jack stands to work. So I have these two sets of jack stands that I covet, and you've seen them. It's a screw jack, but it's a jack stand.
Right.
And I have those, and I only have two of them. If I could find more, I'll buy them.
Yeah.
I only have two of those because they can adjust at any level.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought these things are brilliant, but unfortunately, I only have two of them. So I'm still looking around, but a scissor jack works just as well.
Yes.
So that's why I went over and I sent the scissor jack under there, and I'm watching them work. And thankfully, I was there at that crucial moment when they were putting the strut in and mating it up with the sway bar. So when you see someone grabbing a pipe wrench and trying to bend the sway bar to get the center link in there, you're like, hey.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't do that.
Chris Switzer, saving lives all over the Northeast.
Right.
But I'm gonna send you a picture later. I don't have it here. I bought a device on Amazon, and it's an aluminum picture. It's around about a 3-inch diameter, and it has a raised section in the middle, like a mohawk, if you will. That's got a space in the middle. You put that on your floor jack, and the trough goes over the pinch weld on the body. And so
really?
Kind of, yeah, and now you can raise the car with this thing. So now it won't slide. And there's actually two little magnets in there. So the way to do it is you actually stick it up under the car, and then you bring the jack up under it.
That's brilliant.
Yeah,
I love this.
I'll send you a shot of it later. It's I bought when Kevin and I had talked about it. I had actually taken a piece of wood and cut a groove in a 4x4. But you know, you got to it's a little harder to get it. Yeah, well, you know, backyard stuff. But this is pre-made that way, and it wasn't a lot of money. It was pretty cheap, you know. So.
Wow! And even magnetized, someone was really thinking on that product. That's really cool.
Right, right.
That is very cool. I mean, we're not the slick exotic guys like you are that have access to a lift.
Mm, yeah, I know.
You do gentleman work now. You're not lying on the cement like the rest of us plebeians.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that I just want to go back to the first topic because I don't know if I finished that on Mike's breaks with the reverse bleeder. I'm going to start. I kept that one at home. I'm going to bring it to the shop. It really does work fantastically well because, like I said, it pushes the fluid forward and up, and with minimal mess and with one person, a dry system was back in operation in less than an hour.
That's great.
So something to think about, but, you know, if people want to see it, you can go on to Instagram, real_motormouthradio, and see the pictures of it. There's just a few. It's only about 4 or 5. But and then if you have questions, you can call or write us, and we'll be glad to. Because, you know, I seem to do a lot of brake work. And you're always looking for those shortcuts and the things. Like I said, you bring your bag of tricks, because if this doesn't work, you go to the next one. And, you know, what did you do with your 300? How was the bleeding on that car? How'd that go?
It was a bit of a pain because not only did I bled the system, and the first time, and it worked very well, and I was basically testing the hard pedal. I was, get on it a third time, and then it went pew, right to the floor. And that's when I realized, I looked up there, and I saw at the most, what would you say, the most vulnerable spot where the brake line from the front block that runs the length of the car to the back block, right at the flared nut, right at that spot, it split there. Glad it happened in the garage. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. I'd much rather have it in the garage than downhill. But it did go there. It did let go there. So I had to replace that line. And wouldn't you know it, in a Chrysler product, and this is why I always chuckle about Chryslers, because I don't know who puts these cars together, but it's almost like they're put together with string and glue sometimes, the way they're designed. The line runs out from above the rear end, above the pumpkin. It runs up and around to the driver's side, goes around the frame,
right,
and then literally runs down under the driver's door, turns, makes a right, and goes up towards the block under the master cylinder.
Right.
It's simple. If I had that line put in, replaced, I had the old line out, the new line in less than an hour. Brake line.
Yeah.
And I was like, I sat back, went, this is extreme. Because if this was my Electra, or if this was any GM product, I remember you talking about doing a brake line on that Grand National, that took you years. And I was like, this was easy. Yeah. This was incredibly easy to do. And it was done. Not a problem. And then I just continued on with the brake line process because, of course, I had half the system filled with a fluid, and the other half was onto the car.
Right.
So
right.
I was able to do it.
Well, it's a good hair tonic, I've heard.
Oh, it sure is.
Better than 90 weight.
Yes, it sure is. So, but it was done, and the car is fine. The car stops. You know how it stops because it has manual brakes, which still to me perplexes the heck out of me. But it stops like you drive a car with a trailer.
Right.
That's how it stops. If you've ever driven a car with a trailer behind it or a truck with a trailer, you know you have to give yourself a little bit of extra room because you're pulling that much more weight. When you have manual brakes, they're not power. They make power brakes for a reason.
Yeah.
So you have to compensate for it, and just I try and stay away from 45-degree hills.
Oh, yeah.
It's real.
Well, you're working on the power conversion for that car, right?
I would like to. I'm still searching for the necessary parts I need. I don't know whether to go power disc or a power drum. So I'm thinking maybe it's easier to do power drum. So I don't really need to change that many components. But I'm still working on what I need.
Yeah, my vote would be for the disc. Because this way you get more. You have to do a little more work, but it's done in one shot. And then you have a better braking system.
Very true. Very true.
Then you just have to source out the parts. But that shouldn't be too hard.
No, it's not. It's a lot easier to sort out those parts for that car than it is to sort out an AM/FM radio that actually works for that car, or a cruise control unit, or even more crazier, I'd love to put air conditioning in it, but like a stock air conditioning system.
Right.
And that's just, oh my gosh, the complexities. And like I love to option cars out. Mm-hmm. And this car only came with power windows and power steering. That was really it, and AM radio. So I'm in the process of looking for those little nuances and those little things that drive Chrysler purists crazy, but still indigenous of the vehicle. I still want to find the right, I found the right, passenger side, side view mirror.
Nice.
I found the correct one. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yeah, buy it. So I bought that, and now that's on the car, even though it didn't come with it, you'd never know it. You'd never know it. You look at the car, and it looks like it's been there its whole life.
Beautiful, yeah.
That's the way I like to do things. And that's what I'm doing now with the, like you said, with the front end, with the brakes. I'm just researching it, finding the right things to bolt on.
Well, I tell you, like other things that have seemed like they've been there their whole lives, it's kind of like I feel like you've been here my whole life, because it's kind of like stepping into an old pair of shoes. And I want to thank you for putting this together and coming back on with me, because it's great. I mean, this is something.
Thank you.
It's a natural transition. I'm glad to have you back, and I know the listeners are too, even though they weren't calling. But I don't know. We'll figure that out.
No way.
And right now, as of next week, we don't have a guest, but there's some guests. Of course, they're in the cloud. They haven't dropped back down. But when I find out about it, I'll let you know ahead of time, so we can do a little whatever it is we do before shows, which is really nothing. But we can both do nothing together in our own. Our own places.
Prepare?
Yeah, right. Really? Exactly.
Just like my cousin Pat says, I've done no preparing for this show whatsoever.
And you didn't have to. You didn't have to. Yesterday, Mike and I were at the shop talking. I was getting ready to leave, and in through the door walks Christian from Long Island Racing. And whoa, Christian. He was at his buddy Bob's house helping him put a transmission in and stop by the shop. And he's going to be coming in. He's going to be coming in soon. We're gonna talk with him. And
awesome.
He's always got a plethora of stuff that he's involved with. He brought out his Geiger counters and his gamma meters. And we were measuring things in the shop. It was great. So.
What a surprise.
I know. So we'll get Christian back in. He's, at the shop, they bought new machinery, a three-axis mill, and he has a really nice big 3D printer now. They're moving ahead, moving forward on in the shop as well. So we'll have him in here one of these days.
That's amazing stuff.
Yeah, so we'll keep rolling. We'll, like I said, I'll keep you informed of what's going on. Yes. Now I get to, we'll get to talk during the week about this kind of stuff, which is great.
Yeah, sure thing.
And I think I will give you a call after the show just to vent.
Okay, sounds good.
And then, because we're getting done, Kim is setting up her stuff now. She hasn't kicked us out yet, but it'll be soon. Okay. And, Yeah, and I think this format's going to work well. If people listen, if you like it, let us know. If you don't like it, let us know, and we're going to do it anyway. Sure. So, but with that, since Kim is back, we're going to get out of here. Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, and Chris Switzer.
And I could say, don't follow us home.
Exactly. We'll be back next week. Keep it where you got it, 90.3 WHPC. Thanks, Chris.
Bye.
Bye.